results of Alfia are the newly new things in the religion. For all new things are innovations, and all innovations are errors, and all errors are doomed for hell. May Allah save us from that. After this, my respected brothers and sisters in Islam, I greet you with the greeting of Islam, by which all the pious ones start their speech with, which is the greetings of Taslim. I say once again, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The topic for today's lecture is the significance of the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. When we say the significance, we are saying the importance, especially when such thing has an effect on what happens in the future. That is, we are talking about the significance of such a thing, the importance, particularly when that thing has effect on future occurrences. So we want to know the significance, the importance of the birth of the Messenger of Allah, that is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. Many of us would have heard the verse often quoted in the Quran that wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin. You were not sent, that is the Messenger of Allah, Allah addressed him, that he was not sent except as a mercy to the whole world. A poet, a Muslim poet, as collected by Sheikh Adam Abdullah Ali Lori in his book Fawakih Sakita, he said, Mada dahru wa lihayam wa dhambu hasilun wa jaa rasulullahi wal qalbu ghafilun. That days continue to move to become weeks, weeks becomes months, months become years, to become decades and centuries. Yet wadambu hasilun, sins continue to increase, it does not decrease. Ignorance continues to increase on the surface of the earth. وَجَاءَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَالْقَلْبُ غَافِلٌ. And the Messenger of Allah came at a point in time when mankind was in a state of ignorance. We cannot understand the import of this statement clearly unless we x-ray the state of the world by the time of the advent of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in the 6th century of the Christian era. The state of the world has been clearly exemplified by one of the scholars of Islam of blessed memory, that is Sayyid Abu al-Hassan Ali Nadwi, particularly in two of his books. One, Muhammad Rasulullah, and two, Islam and the World. These books were originally written in Arabic but translated to English. According to Sayyid Abu Hassan Ali Nadwi in Muhammad Rasulullah, the 6th century in which the Prophet of Islam was born was, to be brief, the darkest era of history. It was the most depressing period in which the crestfallen humanity had abandoned all hopes of its revival and renaissance. When they say crestfallen, that means the state of being sad and disappointed because one has failed to do what is expected to do. So the humanity was in a state of disappointment. So according to the same author, in his Pathway to Medina, another book written by the author, he said, the cart of humanity, cart, C-A-R-T, was moving along the downward track in the 6th century of the Christian era. It was growing darker and darker, and the slope was becoming deeper. The cart was gathering momentum. It was rolling down with greater force. The whole family of Adam was seated in the cart. There were in it the fruits of thousands of years of human endeavor, of ancient civilizations and intellectual development. The occupants were either fast asleep or quarreling among themselves for a better place. No one gave a thought to the danger ahead. In his Islam and the World, he said, humanity had reached the edge of the precipice towards which it had been tragically proceeding for centuries, and this appeared to be no agency, and there appeared to be no agency or power in the whole world which could come to its rescue and save it from crashing into the abyss of destruction. Brothers and sisters in Islam, why was the world in such a state? The reasons are not far-fetched. They have been further and clearly exemplified by the same author in his work, Islam and the World. When we look at the world in the 6th century Hijra, let us look at the religion of the world, the state of the religions of the world as at that time. We look at Christianity. He said by the 4th century Christian era, Christianity had become a curious mixture of Greek mythology, Roman idolatry, Egyptian Neoplatonism, and monasticism, in which the pure and simple teachings of Christ had been lost like a drop of sweet water in the ocean. It has been reduced to a hopeless mess of meaningless doctrines and empty rituals, which could neither elevate the spirit, nor illuminate the intellect, nor move the emotions. Christianity, rather than open the path to progress, had become a stumbling block in the path of human progress. Those of us who are students of history of science will know that many scientists were killed on the order of the Pope as a result of the fact that their discovery is in contrast to the teaching of the church. You know, people like Copernicus, even Galileo Galilei, okay, for teaching that the world or the earth is spherical, they were killed, they were tortured, because it ran contrary to the doctrine of the church. Therefore, Christianity stood on the path of human progress, not only scientifically, but all intellectual endeavors. Christianity came, as at that time it was a stumbling block. If you look at Judaism, according to the author, Muhammad Rasulullah, he said, Judaism by then, that is the 6th century Christian era, had been reduced to an amalgam of dead rituals and sacraments, without any spark of life left in it. also being a religion upholding racial slavery, it has never had any message for other nations or the good of humanity at large, which is true. If you go to the net, if you go to chat room now, if you go to religion, go to Judaism, just try and ask one Jew there, how can I become somebody who will practice Judaism? He is going to be in problem, because once you are not a Jew, you cannot practice that religion. Of course, such a religion cannot be for the whole world. So they don't have solution to the problem of the world. The Jews had, under the influence of their powerful neighbors and conquerors, adopted numerous idolatrous beliefs and practices. They were notorious all over the world for excessive pride of blood and greed. Meek and submissive in distress, they were tyrannical and mean when they had upper hand. Hypocrisy, deceit, treachery, selfishness, cruelty, and unseriousness has become the normal trait of their nature. The mutual jealousy and hatred between the Christians and the Jews, which did not permit them to forego any opportunity of settling an old score, was brought to its climax towards the close of the 6th century. In 610 Christian era, the Jews of Antioch rebelled against the Christians, and Emperor Phocas sent his famous general, Bonosus, to put down the uprising, who set about his business with such enthusiasm that the whole of the Jewish population was wiped out. Thousands of Jews perished by the sword, while hundreds of them were drowned or burnt alive or thrown to the wild beast. The Jews wreaked their revenge in 615 Christian era by instigating Cosra, that is one of the kings of the Roman, the name of that Cosra is Pavel, that is, to order a general massacre of Syrian Christians when he overran that country. Then in 630 Christian era again, Heraclius wreaked such savage vengeance upon the Jews that in the Roman Empire, those alone could save themselves who to take to flight or go into hiding. What was the man trying to say? He was saying that the two religions that laid claim to monotheism were at loggerheads. Rather than solving the problem of the world or salvaging mankind from impending peril, they were fighting each other and trying to annihilate one another. That was the order of the day then. The cause of this is that the message of their religion has been forgotten centuries ago, and they have adopted the practices, the religious practices of their neighbors and conquerors over the years. Then, Buddhism is also one of the world religions then. Buddhism has become swallowed up by Brahmanism and adopting its gods and deities. Buddhism had a long while ago lost its individuality and simplicity of its creed, as taught by Gautama Buddha, its founder. In short, Buddhism had got converted into an idolatrous faith. Wherever the Buddhists went, they took the images of Buddha with them and installed them there. You can remember the Taliban regime in Afghanistan. One of their problems with the world, when I say world, Western world, was that they blew up one of the images of Buddha in Afghanistan that have been placed there centuries. Okay? In fact, some Muslims, so-called scholars, were even justifying the claim of the West that they shouldn't have blown it up. Some of them were saying some companions passed Afghanistan and they saw these statues and they did not destroy them. Why are they now destroying those statues? When the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to Ali, raised a sword and a banner that who is going to take it from him?
And Ali said he took it and he told him that he should not see any image except that he destroys the image, and no return except that he levels it. That is the command of the messenger of Allah to Ali during his lifetime. Then some scholars are saying some companions have passed through that place, they left it. Those companions that were passing through the place, were they passing as rulers, as leaders then? Or were they passing like just people who are trying to preach Islam but not in power? Do they have the state power to do it? The instrument of state. Now, hence, the entire religious and cultural life of the Buddhists is overshadowed by idolatry. Such being the position, the Buddhists in India, China, and other countries of Southeast Asia could scarcely be looked upon to play a significant role in the moral and spiritual rehabilitation of man, or the promotion of peace and stability in the world. Then, let us look at the life of some of the empires that were in existence then, during the 6th century Christian era, when the messenger of Allah was born. We start with Iran. Iran has fallen into the abyss of immorality. According to Ali Nazmi again, the famous Chinese traveler, in a song, has stated that no relationship were excluded from the conjugality in the Iranian law and society. It is stated that Yazdijad II, who ruled during the middle of the 5th century Christian era, married his own daughter and afterwards killed her, in order to prove that they did not forbid any kind of relationship. If it's your own blood sister, you can marry her. There's no problem. The emergence of Mazdakite movement in Iran is another point in history to show the state of the world then in Iranian Empire, the Persian Empire. Mazdak advanced the view that since all human beings were descended from the same common parents, they have equal rights in the women and wealth of one another. This he held will put an end to all feuds and quarrels which generally arose on account of these two factors. He believed that wars and chaos were a result of people vying for women and wealth. Therefore, if wealth and women can be placed at the disposal of everybody on equal basis, then there will be no problem in the world. So powerful was the movement that everyone could walk into everyone else's house and take possession of his wife and property. Things quickly came to such a pass that neither parents could recognize their children, nor children their parents. No one had any rights, even over one's own property. No, it encourages lazy people to take over. People who are lazy quickly embrace the idea of Mazdak, and wherever they see people at work, they will just go there and seize the property and say the property belongs to us. If you see the wife of somebody else, you can just walk in and have anything you want to have with her, since the women must be shared equally by us. And you know what is going to happen in such a society. In fact, some historians said that there was a time at that point in history that they find no person to bury the dead. They were left for the culture to eat, because nobody wants to work. And those people who took over others' property were not able to maintain them because they were lazy before. The religious life of the Iranians was the fire worship, which can neither educate nor inform. It can neither redeem the sinner nor instruct its devotees in life's problems. The irony is that the worshipper are the one that will be putting the fuel there, just like the Oshun-Oshungo worshipper in Oshungo here in Yoruba land, Oshungo in Oshun State. During the time of Oshun-Oshungo, they have one, a kind of lamp having about 16 weeks. At sixteen weeks lamb. So they said this lamb, throughout the time they are worshipping their god Oshun, the lamp must not be extinguished. So they will continue to stay with the lamp. So it is the relic of the fire worship in the Persian Empire that we are just looking at in Oshun there. Unfortunately, in the name of culture and tourism, our government have embraced it. And people from Oshogbo particularly, under the garb of art, fast, culture, have become polytheists, little by little. Even the Muslims among them, because they are now making money through it. You can see that when they talk of culture now, they are talking about places like Oshogbo there. They say it's culture, whereas it's idolatry. So the Muslims should be very careful and be wary of such a thing so that you don't fall into polytheism under the garb of culture or tourism. The political and economic life of the Iranians. The rule was absolute monarchy, which nobody can rule without the divine blood in his veins. Such is the big party in Yoruba land. If at the demise of a king, they want to select another king, one thing is that once you don't belong to the royal family, you can never become the king. Then the royal family presents a buffoon, or what can we imbecile, that this is our king. Everybody will accept it. Because if you say you don't accept it, they ask you, are you from the royal family? Because you are not having the royal blood in you, you are not fit to rule. So you must accept whosoever they have put there. So it's part of idolatry. Okay? Part of the practice. You know, the Iranians, they even bow down and worship their king. Even Yoruba land, because the Obas, Alaje, a king in Orisha. The Orisha is the god, and they said the Oba is the commander, and also the second in command to the Orisha, who is the god. And that is why we prostrate for them. If you don't prostrate for them, it is a sign of disregard to the gods, because they are the representative of gods on earth. So some people used to think that we are only trying to, we are only trying to revere them. Even revering people is haram. Okay? So much so that this culture has gone deep into, has eaten deep into the fabric of the society, that many Muslims also support it, that there is nothing wrong with it, it's not worship. To prostrate is not worship. Whereas the basis of it is from polytheism, because you have to bow down for the gods, and the kings are the representatives of the gods. So, and in each family, the king is going to have somebody who is representing him there, as Magaj or Bali. He's going to have sheep, then like that, and that is the linkage. So, the kings of the Iran were accepted by their people to have divine blood running in their veins. Divine blood, just like the Christians believe that Jesus is man God. The emperor of Iran believed in amassing as much wealth for themselves as they could. When the treasure of Khosrow II was shifted to a new building in Mardin in 607 to 608 AD, it included 458 million mitkals of gold, worth about 375 million gold francs. By the 13th year of its reign, the accumulation of gold had reached 800 million mitkals. The crown of the king was made up of about 120 pounds of solid gold, which is about 91 kilograms. That is the crown on his head. Can anybody put such weight on the head? It's not weighing down. As a result of that, there is a gold chain, thin chain, that was attached to this crown and suspended. It was made thin in order for somebody far not to be able to perceive it. You won't see it. You understand? So you think the king is putting on the gold here on his head. You can remember when this Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah went to these people. He did not bow down for the king. But the lot of people do not want to bow, so they made a barrier. Before you get to the king, you have to pass under the barrier, forcing him to bow. So what he did was that he now turned his back. So, and he was passing the letter to the king through his buttocks, so that he doesn't want to force him down. If it is nowadays, I don't know what they are going to cause for this person. But he was establishing the Aqidah of Islam that he should not prostrate or bow down for any other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 2 days Vietnam. The society was divided into castes and classes. When you come to India, you will see the way their own caste system is even worse. A Parsi historian writes about Khosrow Parsi of Iran that he possessed 12,000 women, 50,000 thoroughbred horses, and countless palaces, huge amounts of cash and heaps of precious stones and other valuable articles, which is happening to us today too, our leaders. When Emperor Yazdijan of Iran had to flee his capital after the fall of Mandarin, he took with him a staggering retinue of 1,000 cooks, 1,000 musicians, 1,000 attendants of panthers and falcons, 1,000 falconers. What do they mean by that? You know, these people used to wash white animals, just like our falcons of today. So, those who used to trade these white animals and make sure of them for the king to enjoy, he took about 1,000 of them. Those that used to train birds, white birds, took about 1,000 of them along. And even this was not considered as adequate by him. It's still happening today. Whenever we want to welcome our leaders, which we call red carpet welcome, you will see a lot of display for these leaders, and a lot of wealth will be wasted just because one of our leaders is coming. If a governor is coming now, you will see the number of fuel that will be wasted because of one governor. Cars that have no occupants other than the driver shall be there. Fleet of cars. And people without, commissioners without portfolios, advisors without offices, and many of them will come in the entourage of the governor. What were they doing? They are coming to commission a borehole project in the village. The amount of money they will spend on this enterprise is more than what they have used to make the borehole in the first place. So it's part of Khufu, relics of Khufu of those empires that we have been reliving. In Rome, what has been said of Iranians is also applicable to the Romans. They collected expensive tax from their subjects, that is their colonies, such that some sell their children to be able to pay, while sometimes they sold, that is the Romans, they sold the tenants as slaves for non-payment of dues. In short, countries under the Roman or Iranian domination were in a pathetic state. They were the land. You understand, they were in slavery because they continued to pay heavy taxes to the Roman Empire or to the Iranian Empire. And if you cannot pay, you are going to be sold into slavery. So some people have to sell even their wives in order to pay these taxes. In India, during the 6th century Christian era, as many as 33 million gods were recorded by historians to be worshipped by the Hindus. In fact, some historians recorded that private parts of men, of women, were being worshipped. These people were called as family parts. In their worship places, they will draw the private part of woman, the vagina, on the walls. And a woman will be there naked, opening her private part. When you come, you go and prostrate for this private part. You understand? You know the reason. He said, that is your God, because you came from that place. Definitely, it must be your God. It's the one that will get you. So can you see? So those of us who are finance students will know that in history there was a time that images of man organ and all these things were being made all over the empire. That was the state of art then. Okay? Sexual perversity and moral decadence set on in. The social system of the Indians is the caste system. The Indians divided their society into four: the Brahmins, or the learned and priestly class; the Kshatriyas, or the fighting and ruling class; the Vaishyas, or the trading and agricultural people; the Sudras, or the lowest caste people, whose only business in life was to serve their emperors. So they reduced themselves to the termites. You know the termites, they have the vision of labor. Once you are a king, you are a king. Once you are a soldier, you are a soldier. You are either a man duly soldier or not soldier. Once you are a worker, you are a worker. You understand? So, or they made themselves into all the beings, turning themselves to animals. According to Manu Shastra, you know Manu came around 300 BC, you know, the Lord created Brahman from his mouth, Kshatriya from his hands, Vaishya from his thighs, and Sudra from his feet, so that the world may prosper. Whatever is on the earth belongs to the Brahman, for he is the highest among all the creatures. All things are for him. A Brahman can acquire by force, if necessary, the property of his Sudra slave. It will not be at all unlawful, because a slave can never own anything. In lieu of sentence of death, the head of the Brahman shall be shaved, while persons of other caste shall be executed. The person in the lowest caste, which is a Sudra, should never acquire property, even if he has the opportunity for doing so, because doing so causes pain to the first of the caste, which is the Brahman. Should a Sudra try to sit at the same place with the twice born, the king should get his footers branded with red hot iron. This is their own sharia, and banish him from the land. If a Sudra touches a Brahman or abuses him, his tongue shall be pulled out from the root. If he claims he can teach a Brahman, boiling oil shall be poured down his throat. What happened is that, like I'm delivering the lecture now, maybe in the course of question and answer, you raise up your hand and say, what you have said, this, not that. It's okay. You say that. The penalty is that boiling oil shall be poured down that throat. That is their rule. The atonement for killing a dog, a cat, a frog, a lizard, a crow, an owl, and a Sudra is the same. So what if you kill a lizard, what will happen to you? Nothing. So if you can kill him, no problem. That is India. And India, you know, the India live, the Hindus live in India. And they have river Hindus there, and their religion is Hinduism. So if you are in Nigeria trying to practice Hinduism, you must be a fool. Because Indians the Hindus live in India, practices Hinduism, and if a Hindu is with them, then what can you lay claim to here? Just like in Nigeria, we say it's a Catholic, and every school that is established here, you write RCM school, Roman Catholic Mission School, as if we are in Rome. So how can you be a Catholic when you are in Nigeria? Are you a Roman? Roman Catholic Mission. Maybe the fathers will be able to explain that in future. But I know about today they will not be able to explain it. So maybe there is going to be a kind of renaissance, or there is going to be a kind of Protestantism again in the Catholic Church. So people will change it to Nigerian Catholic Mission. So, and they will break away. They will have their own pope, which is going to be a black man. Anyway, I will not have much time to go deeper into the state of the world. But As humanity lay gasping in the agonies of death, Allah raised Muhammad to resuscitate it and deliver it from darkness into light. The messenger of Allah broke the fetters of ignorance and superstition and invited men to servitude that released them from every other form of bondage. He restored to them the legitimate comforts of life from which they had deprived themselves under the false ethical and spiritual notions. His advent gave to humanity a new life, a new life, a new faith, a new world, a new society, and a new culture. It ushered in a new era in human history, making the commencement of the real mission of man upon the earth. The birth of the messenger of Allah signifies the closeness of the end of the world. I'm coming to that. So what am I trying to say? I'm saying the messenger of Allah came at a point in time when the whole world was in darkness and ignorance and they are to be doomed. And his advent to rescue them from that abyss. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in Quran chapter 14, verse 1, Surah Ibrahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alif Lam Ra, Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka litukhrija an-nasa min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur bi-idhni rabbihim ila siratil aziz al-hamid. That is a book that Allah has revealed to you, Muhammad, in order to remove mankind from darkness to the light of Allah with the permission of your Lord into a straight way, the way of exalted in power and the one that is worthy of all praise. Allah also said in Surah Al-A'raf, Quran chapter 7, verse 157, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثَ وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِصْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Oh, I wish you understand Arabic. You don't like me to translate it. He says, he commands them what is just and forbids them what is evil. That is the message of Allah. He allows them as lawful what is good and pure, and prohibits for them what is bad and impure. He releases them from their heavy bodies and from the yokes that are upon them. All these yokes that I've mentioned briefly, the messenger of Allah came to release it from them. And that is why Allah said in that verse that was read in the second raka of Maghrib, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَءُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. A messenger has been raised from among yourselves. The messenger of Allah feels not comfortable that evil befalls you. Every time the messenger of Allah is always looking for what is going to make your life easy, what is going to make you gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what he concerns himself with. Hence, the world passed from ignorance to Islam with an alacrity that is without a parallel in history. According to Muhammad Asad, in Islam and Western civilization, it took the Roman Empire nearly 1,000 years to grow to its full geographical extent and its political maturity, while the Islamic Empire sprang up and grew to its full might within the short period of about 80 years. That is why that adjective that Islam the world passed from ignorance to Islam with an alacrity that is without a parallel in history. For an empire to grow to its full splendor within 80 years, such that the founder of that empire even witnessed the expansion and the glory of that empire, then you must know that this is God ordained. That one confirms to us the statement of that poet that the world was in a state of ignorance, but the advent of the messenger of Allah rescued the world from that ignorance. And what Allah said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Many people will not understand that if we do not do this exemplification. I mean, explain the state of the world in the 6th century Christian era. Why was the messenger of Allah a mercy to the whole world? just because he was the one that came to rescue the world from the abyss, from hell. The second significance, and I'm just mentioning two, of the birth of the messenger of Allah is that it signifies the closeness of the end of the world. It signifies that the end, the world shall soon come to the end. But many of us, we are going to be reasoning now that this is 1429 years after the messenger of Allah performed the hijrah from Makkah to Medina. What are you telling us? The word, the coming of the messenger signifies the end of the world. And it's now more than 1,000 years that he has gone, and the world has not come to the end. What do you mean? Allah said what Allah told us in Surah Al-Qamar, Quran chapter 54, verse 1. Allah said, "Of the Lord, the Shaitan, the Rajim, the Lord, the Man, the Rahim, Iqtar, that is Sa'ati, wa Mishak, called the Qamar. The hour has drawn near, and the moon has been cleft asunder." During the time of the Messenger of Allah, people ask for a miracle. The miracle they ask from the Messenger of Allah is that the moon should be split into two, and the Messenger of Allah asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to split the moon into two. And the Quraysh, the politics in Makkah, were looking at two different moons. Yet they did not believe him. They said he has used magic to cover their sight. You know what they did? They now sent emissary to villages and towns around Mecca and far beyond, and asking them how many moons did they observe yesterday. And it was confirmed to them that they were also surprised that they were observing two moons. I think when Neil Armstrong and Co. got to the moon, they were able to see the crack in the moon. They saw that there is a crack there, the light, the crack is there. Neil Armstrong, that's one of the reasons Neil Armstrong accepted Islam. And when he got to Egypt, where they were making Adan, he was asking them what they were doing. They said they were making Adan. That is what he had in the moon. And he became Muslims. You know, the Western world, they said he was mad and did not allow him to see the light of the day he died. Just like that woman who became a Muslim, the first female pilot in Nigeria, when she died, she was killed by one of the guards in her house. We don't know what led to that, but she died. She hid it, something like that, the name of the woman, the first female pilot. So such is the kuffar. But how can we explain this? 1,000 years, the world has not come to end. How close is that? The explanation is simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Quran chapter 22, verse 47, Surah Al-Hajj, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, wa yasta'jilunaka bil 'adhabi wa lan yukhlifa Allahu wa'dahu wa inna yawman 'inda rabbika ka'alfi sanatin mimma ta'udun." And they asked you to hasten on the torment. They were asking the messenger of Allah, "If Allah is going to punish us, they are going to hellfire, then let the punishment come." Allah said, "They are asking you to hasten on the torment." And Allah faced not his promise. And verily, a day with your Lord is 1,000 years of what you reckon. Which means since the time of the messenger of Allah to today is not up to 2 days in the sight of Allah. Allah said, your counting of 1,000 years is equal to 1 day in his own sight. So when Allah said the time of the end of the world is near during the time of the messenger of Allah, it's true because it's not up to 2 days till now. When Allah said that, it's not up to 2 days now in his sight. If you are the one, can you say something is close by? 2 days is too much to you. 48 hours. No. That is the explanation. That is why Allah said in Surah Al-Ma'arij, "Innahum yarawnahu ba'ida wa narahu qariba." They were looking at that day as if it is far off, whereas we look at it as well as close by. If you have a cock in your house, you have your egg. The egg will hatch in your presence. And when the egg hatch in your presence, the cock will grow. The cock is so good that it's going to become the head and shift there, the overlord of the whole area. whereas you will be looking at the cock that this cock has grown. One day you just eat the cock. But the other eggs and chickens will be looking at the cock as their old father. You will be telling them stories of their great grandfather. But to you, the cock has how many years has the cock spent? I think that one can easily explain that. So, the coming of the messenger of Allah signifies the end of the world, and no messenger of Allah, no messenger shall come again after him. So, these are the two things I want to mention quickly, that the messenger of Allah came, one, the messenger of Allah came as a message to the whole world. He rescued the world from the impending terrain, the abyss, saved the world, and raised a new breed of man, that, of men, that changed and changed the history of the world. He brought new idea into the world that changed man from barbarism, from animalistic tendency, back to human nature. The nature upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created man, which is fitrat Allah, alladhi fatara an-nasa 'alayha, alladhi fatara an-nasa 'alayha. La tabdila li khalqi Allah, walakin akthara an-nasi la ya'lamun. Quran chapter 30, verse 30. That is that. The second one is that it signifies the end of the world. Therefore, you should hearken unto the call of Allah and men and change your way. But today, there is a problem among the Muslim women. We have left the substance and we are now holding on to the shaft, okay? The substance has been left alone. Because of the significance of the coming of the messengers of Allah, or the messenger of Allah, many eulogies have been poured on the messenger of Allah, praises have been sung on the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many books, many poems were written to eulogize the messenger of Allah because of the time he came and because he was the mercy to the mankind. But the real import of his message, what he came to propagate, what he wants mankind to do, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him for, people left him. Rather, they were not celebrating the personality of the messenger of Allah. Just like the Christian left the message of Isa ibn Maryam, and they started celebrating his personality, so much so that they now equate the personality of Isa to Godhead. And that is why the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, La tatruni kama atarati nasara Isa ibn Maryam. Do not eulogize me or praise me just like the Christians have done for Isa, that is Jesus. Inni Abdullah wa Rasulu. Surely I am only the slave of Allah and his messenger. The Christians started eulogizing, praising Jesus. You are the best of us. He is the best of us. He is the leader of the best of us. He is among the best of us. Is the piece of that, all the denouncing is God. That is where they ended it. And it became a theological debate between the Christians in Egypt, in Syria, and the Israelites, is the personality of Jesus. Some of them were saying it's part of Godhead. Some of them were saying it's not part of Godhead. Some of them were saying it's even God incarnate. Some were saying no, it's reincarnate. Some are saying God with us and many other things, and it went to theological debate. And that is what is happening even among the Muslims today. I was reading a book that book has been sent to me long, long ago, until I heard of this lecture, and I remember it was, I didn't read it then. I didn't read much. An-Ni'matul Kubra, Alali Alam, Timoridi. Sayyidi Walad Adam, Imam Al-Alama, Shihabuddin Ahmad bin Hajar al-Islami al-Shafi. When I was reading this book, inside the day, when I was coming for this lecture, I was just taking my head, what I said, media. Let me read some of it. Is that called Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiyallahu alayhi, man anfaqa dirhaman ala qira'ati mawlidi nabiyyi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kana rafiqi fi jannah. Abu Bakr, radiyallahu alayhi, said, he who spent one dirham on the recitation of Maulid Nabi. That's what is speaking here. That is Majid. He's going to be my companion in paradise. وقال عمر رضي الله عنه من عظم موليد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقد احيا الاسلام. He who refer the Maulid of Nabi, such person has enlivened the Islam. وقال عثمان رضي الله عنه من انفق درهما على قراءه موليد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فكانما شهد غزوه بدر وحنين. Is that he who spent one dirham, let's say one kobo, on the recitation of Madhu, such a person is as if he witnessed the battle of Badr and Hunayn. Waqala Ali, radiallahu anhu, wa karamallahu wajhah, man azzama mawlida nabi sallallahu wa kana sababan li kiraati la yakhruj min ad-dunya illa bil iman wa yadkhul al-jannata bi ghayri hisab. Is that Ali, radiallahu anhu, said he who referred Madhu, the Maulid Nabi, and is one of the cause for his reciter. He's not going to leave this world except with Iman, and he's going to enter and journey without recording. Hassan Basri said, according to them, وَدِتُ لَوْ كَانَ لِي مِسْتُ جَبَلِ أُحْدِ دَعْبًا فَأَنْفَقْتُ عَلَى كِرَاتِ مَوْلِدِ نَبِيًا. Besides, I love that even if I have gold as big as the month of Uhud, I spend everything in the path of leading the Maulid Nabi. Maybe those who are illegitimate the prophet start praying them. Junaid al-Baghdadi, Qaddas Allah Sirahu, said, من حضر مولد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعظم قدره فقد فاز بالإيمان. وقال معروف الكاريخي قدس الله سيره من هيا طعاما لأجل قراءة موليد. He who prepared food because of موليد النبي وجمع إخوانا and gather brothers وأوقد سراجا and put on light ولبس جديدا and put on a very good clothes because of daddy وتبخر وتعثر and put on perfume تعظيما لموليد النبي referring the celebration of Maulid Nabi. حشر الله يوم القيامة مع الفرقة الأولى من الأنبياء. Allah is going to raise him among the first class of the prophets on the day of judgment. وكان في أعلى إليين. You know that إليين, that Allah سبحانه وتعالى, the name of the pious are there, is going to be among the first there. Because there are many here. In fact, he said, وإن كريا. He said, again, they said, Imam Razi said, من قرع موليد النبي على ملح أو بور أو شيء آخر, he read Madhu on a sword or corn or something else, من المعقولات from edibles, إلا ظهرت في البركة في كل شيء, except that that is going to put baraka in whatever he holds. وصل إليه من ذلك المعقول. That is anything that food touches is going to bring barakah to it. فإنه يطلب ولا يستقر حتى يسبر الله لأكله. So وإن كرئ موليد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على ماء, if it's red on water, فمن شرب من ذلك الماء, he who drinks on water, دخل خلباء الألف نور ورحمة, 1000 light he enters that and رحمة, وخرج منه ألف جل وعلة and أزلك, you know, جل, hatred, 1000 of it will be removed from his heart, ولا يموت ذلك القوم يوم يتموت القلوب, that heart will not die on the day all hearts will die. ومن قرأ مولد النبي على دراهم مسكوكة فضة كانت أو ذهبا, he who read the Maulid Nabi on silver coin or gold coin, وَخَلَّ فَتِلِكَ دَرَائِمْ بِالْهِيَا and now put it in another money, وَقُعَتْ فِي الْبَرَكَةِ, that the baraka will enter the other money, وَلَا يَفْتَقِرُ صَحِبُهَا, the person will not become wanting again, وَلَا تَفْرُقُ يَدُوهُ بِبَرَكَةِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and he's not going to become penniless as a result of the baraka of Muhammad. In fact, it continues, they were saying a lot of things, that even the Messenger of Allah never attributed to doing great things. If you recite the whole Quran, The prophet did not say you are going to enter paradise without recording, and many other things. In fact, it's a lot of things they were saying they are reciting the Holy Trinity. You must stand up. You are, some of them said it's compulsory. During Maulid Nabi, you must stand up. Some of them said it's mustahab. The meaning of mustahab, you know the meaning of mustahab in Usul Fiqh. If you say, you know, as-salat, imma amurun aw nahy, wal amuru, imma an yakuna, yani wajiban aw mustahiban. When something is a command, it's either going to connote compulsion or it's going to connote meritoriousness. That means meritorious. That means if you do it, you'll be rewarded. If you don't do it, you are not going to be a sinner. Or it's going to connote compulsion. If you don't do it, you are a sinner. If you do it, you shall be rewarded. Okay? That is al-wajib. Ma'amar of ishari ala wajib ilizam. Wal mustahab ma amara bi ishari ala wajib al-ilzam. But both is amr, is command. So if they are saying that it is mustahab, it's not compulsory, then it must have become an amr, a command. From who? From Allah or His Messenger. Is there any answer? All these things I'm reading, some of them think they are authentic. Did I put any chain there? They don't have any chain of narration. These are hadiths we call mu'alla. In science of hadith. Hadith without chain. Okay? La asla lahu, without basis. So we cannot trace the authenticity. So it's like common saying that Odudua has Okanbi, then Okanbi has all these things you can't trace. Okay? Legend or things that you cannot authenticate. And anything you cannot authenticate, you cannot use it in the Sharia of Islam. And you must have had more of it. Why am I reading it is that you may attend one only Nabi or attend some other programs. We have such things shall be read to you. But because either you have been overwhelmed or overshadowed by the greatness or the way the person reading has been referred, or because you don't have the knowledge of hadith, you may not know that such things they are written to you are not possible. They are baseless. Understand? Even Hadith Maudu, you know Hadith Maudu, a formulated Hadith, fabricated Hadith, is more authentic than what I'm reading. Because Hadith Maudu has changed. What is happening to a fabricated Hadith is that a liar is found in the chain. Yani, yani, a liar. If it is Da'if Shadid, very weak, then a mutahamu bil kadhbi. Somebody that has been accused of lying is there. But in this case, you don't even find anybody. Therefore, a fabricated hadith is more authentic than all these statements I've just read. That's just it. But the problem is lack of the knowledge. So when you have had it just ordinarily, you see what is going on. I was speaking during Ramadan to one of the local malams in my area. I was listening to his speech over the air, not on the radio anyway. He was trying to narrate the history of Al-Wasail, that book of Elogy of the Messenger of Allah by Fathasi, that the man was deaf, dumb, blind, and lame. So he now went to the Qabr, the grave of the Messenger of Allah, and he said, he wants to call on the Messenger of Allah to help him and heal him. So he did not bring any food. He said, then he was asked, what are you going to be eating here? He said, he'll be eating the Messenger of Allah. What are you going to drink? He said, we'll eat the Messenger of Allah. So, and he was saying there, eulogizing the Prophet. I don't know how somebody is dumb can eulogize. You know, people listening will not be able to listen. So, then when he eulogized for 7 days, the Messenger of Allah now came out to him and said, what is your problem? He now told him his problem. So the Messenger of Allah now hit him. And so he compiled all these eulogies. You must have had more than that. All these things are things. They are words that Tales from Arabian Night. You know, Tales from Arabian Night is written in Arabic, translated into English. Many of our scholars, many of our fans will read Tales from Arabian Night. he will now be saying in Tafsir as if it is true. One day, the falcon was going and met the... Some of them will say before the fish was missing on the land. But something, they don't know that just like the story of tortoise in the Balad. But this thing does not call for mockery or laughing. What I'm trying to say is that we should free ourselves from shackles of ignorance. Okay? If you allow yourself to be subjugated mentally and to be enslaved intellectually, you will fall into this problem, even if you are knowledgeable. Okay? Sheikh Islam will tell me, I wrote a book. Slavery, translated as slavery. In Italy, many people are enslaved. Even when they have the knowledge, they will not be able to use it. There is an acquaintance of mine, Sanapa. When I was discussing this thing with him, he was saying that when he wanted to worship, so he asked him to do something. So later they were asking a question, who are you? He mentioned his own personal name. What is the effect of this Quran? He said, okay, continue. You have not reached the stage you are going. So later I now said, you remember that, they will continue to be perpetually as if now, when they now ask him, he said, what is this? Now, he said, he told them, this is Allah. He said, what is this? They brought a sheep, this is Allah. What is this? Those of you in philosophy has a name for that thing. Is it a pantheism or syncretism or what do you call it?
Pantheism.
That is, and in other things, you are now maybe Mukada or whatever. So it was bad. So what I'm trying to say in essence is that people have started concentrating on celebrating the personality of the messenger of Allah. But the message he has brought, or the message brought by the messenger of Allah, they left it. Just like somebody who has been, who is in the police station, the police custody, maybe inside the cell, and he says, you are dying inside this cell. And later they now said, okay, come out, then they say, you can go. But you said, I'm going to die inside this cell. Yes, if not for this letter. If not for this letter, you would have died inside this cell. And they said, where is the letter? He said, this is the letter. I started frustrating for the letter. Thank you, letter. Thank you, letter. Oh, I thank you, letter. You are my savior. You know he's a madman. What should he have done in the first case? He should have asked for who wrote the letter. Letter couldn't have written itself. Then he should have gone to the writer and thanked him for sending that letter that saved him. People today, that is what happened to the Christians. God said, Isa, Bunu Mariam, Allah sent him. He started worshipping Isa instead of Allah. It is happening to the Muslims today. Messenger of Allah was sent. That is why Allah called him Rasul. Rasul, look at the name. Rasul, a messenger. Therefore, a messenger must have been sent by somebody. So the one who sent him should be referred, but the message he brought should be followed. But today, people believe that you hate the messenger of Allah if you do not join them in celebrating his personality. You understand what I mean by that? They believe that you do love him. We are asked what the messenger of Allah said, or Allah even said in the Quran, quoting Kuntum to Shibu, if you love Allah, follow me. He didn't say celebrate me. You follow. You should be Allah. Allah will love you. Follow him. What he said, do, he should do, he do. What he said, he should leave. And that is the celebration of God. That is what the messenger of Allah should be in our life, not the personality. Some people today, when they don't observe Salah, they just say, Muhammad is God. Just like a Christian who believes that the blood of Jesus has covered everything. Whatever he commits, let in the name of Jesus be God. Many people are like that today. He said, and the source of this is three. One, ignorance. Two, it's still ignorance, but as a result of fabricated or habits that are not authentic. I give an example. When Adam, alayhi salam, sinned, that means he went against the commandments of Allah. Allah he now repented and Allah forgives him. You will see that there is an hadith. The last 5 days, I still had one imam relating that hadith, that Adam saw written on the arsh, on the throne of Allah, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And he now begged Allah by the jahi, that is the honor of this Rasul. And as a result of that, Allah forgives him. What Allah told us in the Quran, what did Adam say? رَبَّنَا فَتَلَقَى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. So they say that is the kalima. When the Quran has said, what it is, رَبَّنَا ظَلَغْنَا أَنْفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُنَّنَا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Ibn Kathiri, the hadith is in Ibn Kathiri, and he mentioned that this hadith is not authentic. But if you don't have the knowledge of science of hadith, you will not be able to know that what Ibn Kathiri is saying here is that this hadith is not authentic. And like in Shubuzom, Yaspa, somebody was reading an hadith. And he said the hadith is Morisan. Oh, our hadith is giving our hadith are not even Morisan. You know, from the meaning is Morisan. Whereas the meaning in the science of hadith, Morisan hadith, the ruling is weak. That is, an hadith, there is a missing link in the chain. It does not connect to the companion. You understand? Somebody is not the companion saying the messenger of Allah has said. That's just the meaning of Morisan. Do you understand? But the man said, our hadith are not being Morisan. Do you understand what I'm saying? So such are the things that causes the world. There are a lot of things that one would have said ordinarily, but I think this is just a brief lecture. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, the significance of the coming of the messenger of Allah, as far as I've treated in this lecture, is two. One, He came as a message to mankind, and I'll explain that. Two, his coming is indicating the end of the world, so that everybody should prepare for the end of the world. Number three, the message brought by the messenger of Allah should be adhered to, rather than celebrating or eulogizing the personality of the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You understand what I'm trying to say? And this should be our focus. There is no time for much discussion. But maybe during question and answer, if you have one or two things to say, which I can say, if you have a guy with a friend, I could call a hard or a person on your own.
The first one says about the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that وَأَنْدَوَنَا نَارًا وَبَشَّرَ جَنَّةً وَعَلَّمَنَا الْإِسْلَامَ فَوَاللَّهِ نَحْمُدُ. Says, أَنْدَوَنَا نَارًا. The Prophet came, أَنْدَوَنَا نَارًا. He warned us of the end. He warned us seriously of the hell. And Allah says, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. That is the indah. Those of you who disdain, those of you who go contrary to the command of the Prophet of Allah, Allah says, فَلْيَحْذَرْ, you better be warned. فَلْيَحْذَرْ, you better take caution. And to see God in fitna, let Allah's wrath not fall on you. أَوْ يَأْذِيَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Or Allah send down His tormentous punishment on you. وَبَشَّرَ جَنَّةً. And the Prophet came as well. So what? بَشَّرَ جَنَّةً. He gave us the glad tidings of Jannah. وَعَلَّمَنَا الْإِسْلَامَ. And He taught us the deen of submission to Allah. The deen of being peaceful with Allah, with the Prophet, and with other mankind. So Allah is Nahmude. And by Allah, we are grateful to Allah the King. Brethren, guest lecturer has said it all. He has said it all. Let's be very, very, very conscious and conscious of going against a prophetic command. The verse I just quoted is in Surah Luke, chapter 24, verse 53. Just check towards the last, I think the second or the first to the end of the Surah of chapter 24. It means nothing, saying skin is not doing. Is it Sahih or Sahih? Simple. May Allah grant us His guidance. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا هُدَى زَادَهُمْ هُدًى وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ. Anybody, if you did something that unclears you and you seek guidance in truth, sincerely that I want to know about this thing, is it true? اهْتَدَوْا هُدَى. You seek guidance. Allah says, زَادَهُمْ هُدًى. I, Allah, will increase search in guidance. وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ. And definitely, I will grant him taqwa. Inshallah, we go to questions and answers. Inshallah. Let's use our hands for a question. The lecturer is around to give us a subject. Before I take that, the Amir is sent a message now. Please take it so serious. And the message goes to all the hot imams and the faculty coordinators. In essence, CDC members, the Amir wants to meet you tonight after the program. You have no excuse after the program. Allow your members of your Ummah to go home. And you wait behind for something very, very important and significant. I'm very, very urgent. From God. Questions? Number one. One. Two. Three. Four. Five. Six. Seven.
Wa alaykum as-salam. The idea of saying Allah Allah was helpful and concerning Hijab. How can you say
father of India, Mahatma Gandhi, he was actually fighting for the untouchables, that is the one in the lowest cadre. Many of them used to live outside the town. They can't live within the town because of what they face. If you belong to that category, for example, if you are the most learned, you cannot even acquire property by the law. You understand? It's forbidden.
You understand? You are just like that. By living, you are limited to your castle. You understand that one?
That's of what is happening in some Muslim countries. I don't call them, even call them Islamic countries. Places like Jordan. Okay? You know they have a king there. Kuwait, United Arab Emirates, all these Arabia kingdom, even Saudi Arabia is Mamlaka kingdom. They have a king there. There is a slight difference between what is happening there and that of the Yoruba land and what is happening in Sheikh. But it's still an extension to some extent. What is happening there? Truly, you cannot become a king if you are not from the lineage, okay? But the only difference, like that of Saudi, is that the Tawheed is there. You cannot go there and be prostrating for the king. In fact, you can see the king. If you have people who have studied there in the kingdom before, you see people sitting down with the king, eating together. Even if I have not been there, I have seen the clips. See the king sitting on the bear claw, eating food with the people and doing so many other things. Accessible. But that is why what they are still practicing is not Islamic, totally per se. What Islam preaches, or what Islam, the system of Islam is caliphism, a caliph imagine. But according to the Aqidah of Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, irrespective of whatever means by which you get to the power, once you are in power, it becomes incumbent on the people in the state to follow you. In fact, if you do not follow the leader, irrespective of the means by which you get there, you are a rebel. If he kills you, the Ahli Sunnah will not defend you because you are a rebel. Why? Because your act is causing commotion. You are causing problems in society. What you think you want to correct will lead to more chaos. It's not going to make it easier. The problem in society, it's not going to solve the problem. Rather, it's going to compound it. Do you understand? What they will say you should do is to admonish that king or that leader, whether he got there by coup or by kingdom or whatever, to practice the Sharia of Islam. And once he can practice it, then he has actually achieved what Islam wants you to achieve on earth. The means by which he gets there will be an answer. It will be a query he's going to answer with his Lord, not you. What we need is for him to establish the Sharia. Do you understand the point now? Then, if you want to remove him, it is permissible for you to remove him, provided that you have the means and wherewithal to remove him, and provided that you are going to do better or at worst do the same with him when you get there. Do you understand? That is why you find out that in the kingdom sometimes when some people rebel, they will still kill them. People will say, why are the scholars not ruling against the king punishing such people? The scholars will look at those people as rebels. Ordinary people that want to cause problems for the commoners, because there is orderliness in the society. Your rebellion against the king, if the king becomes angry, the society will suffer for it. So rather than allowing you to cause disorder in the society, it's better to eliminate you. When you meet your Lord, then you are going to tell your Lord that you are trying to institute this law. Then Allah will know how he's going to judge your case. But we won't allow ordinary you to destroy the society because of your personal interest. You understand what I'm saying now? Then you are free to become a scholar of peace. That is just that. Should we condemn Maulud Nabi abstractly, or can't we benefit from some things in it?
I will just liken it to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about intoxicants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in intoxicants there are benefits, and in it we have disadvantages. Wa ismuhum akbar min nafa'ihim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the evil inherent in intoxicants is much more than the good you think you are going to achieve there. Therefore, trying to say you want to gain some benefit from Maulid Nabi, the evil the Maulid will cause will be more than what you think is the benefit. Because Maulid Nabi itself, the history started from the Fatimids in Egypt. It was a king among the Fatimid kings that started it in Egypt by calling people to come and celebrate the birth of the Messenger of Allah, offering food, kill so many cows to entertain people, which was unprecedented in the history of Islam. It was just trying to copy the Christians who were celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And you know, according to what I've said during the beginning of the lecture, Christians, they have lost focus. They can celebrate whatever. See the Catholic, all their leaders, they say they are spiritualizing them, they become saints. Saint this, saint that. And you can now seek Allah's, according to them, their own God, their Rahmah, through these saints. You can sense the saints. Do you understand what I'm saying now? And it is just a human being, a pope, that will declare that personality as a saint. You see? So they have lost focus totally. Satan is coming. People, the Muslims are there now. For example, we have stabilized the Shuyukh, the Sheikh. No matter what the Sheikh tells you, you must do it. And if you don't, if you are trying to quote even from the Kitab and Sunnah in order to contradict what the Sheikh has said, you will be told that that thing will retard your spiritual growth. The first lesson you are going to take from a Sheikh, if you want to belong to Sufi or that, is to drop the leading of the Quran and Sunnah. And that is why it is called Tariqa. Tariqa means a path. If you are a Tijaniya, for example, you are going to have the intention that I want to come close to you, O Allah, by following the path laid by Sheikh Tijani. If you are in Qadriya, for example, you will mention that in accordance with the path laid down by Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani. In fact, so you have to follow a path laid down by a Sheikh, and that is the evil there. So each Sheikh has his own path by which we can now get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are they not becoming like Catholics? So those Sheikhs have become saints, that is sinless. They have no sins. Therefore, whatever they say or do is correct. Even if it seemingly to you, they will use that word, contradict the word of Allah and the Sunnah. And if you read it, they will say it will not allow you to grow spiritually. So therefore, you have been mentally enslaved and intellectually subjugated. That's just the principle. So may Allah ta'ala guide us aright. So saying karamallahu waj'ahu for ayy is this bid'ah. According to scholar of hadith, he said radiyallahu anhu is what is known for all the companions, and there is no reason why we should separate Ali and say karamallahu waj'ahu. There is a local legend here that people used to say why they say karamallahu waj'ahu is that the burial ground, I mean, the grave of Ali is not known, it's wrong. He's buried in Najaf. His grave is known. Okay, but our local malams here used to say that his grave is not known. It was the grave is known. Okay, he was killed. So his grave is known. So it is part of trying to centralize Ali by the Shia that made them carve out those things for him. Look, Imam Ali, this Ali, this that. Although in history there was a point in time when Ali and his Shia, his people, were being, victimized in the Islamic Empire then, prior to the coming of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. It was when Umar ibn Abdul Aziz now became the Khalif that he restored their full rights to them, and abusing them from the pulpit stopped because of some political problems. But this you cannot understand unless you can
clearly differentiate authentic and correct history from false one. And I am trying to warn those of you who are students of Arabic and Islamic studies on this campus and whatever campus in Southwest, that you are prone to being given the wrong history Islamically, because you are going to learn from Kufa, people like Montgomery Ward, Ato Abbey. These are your teachers, the Orientalists. It is their books that you read your Islamic history from, not from the authentic Islamic history. When you read their thesis, you find them quoting more of Orientalists than more of Islamic scholars. In fact, some of them will not be able to quote any Islamic scholar. So, and the Orientalists have mopped up this history in order to make you hate your religion, that these companions are full of war, hatred, disease, and political marginalization. So it is only there is four cases. There are some four cases who are compared to Hadia that try to authenticate all those stories. Some of the related narrations were authentic, but there are some other happenings. For example, Aisha radiallahu anha going to war is true. But what you'll be told in Islamic history is that she had gone in order to fight Ali, because since the day of court, that is when she was accused falsely of adultery, that Ali told the messenger of Allah to divorce her if it is true. So she wanted to avenge, which is wrong. The authentic narration says Aisha was going there in order to act as arbiter, saying that if her personality is seen on the battlefield, Muawiyah and Ali will stop fighting, because she is mother of the faithful, because they know this is their mother. But the Munafiqun realizes those who are in Ali camp, those who keep Uthman. They know that because Ali had promised that when things get settled, he's going to arrest the killers and bring them to justice. They now know that if this woman gets there and settle this case, he will be in problem. So they started killing people in the other camps. So there was commotion. And that is how she was unable to solve it. But this one you will not see. He will not tell you. Okay? And he will not authenticate this tradition. He will just be telling the history. And many other ones. Like let's leave that. So, how do we greet? What I'm trying to say in essence is, radiallahu anhu is what the scholars of hadith have said for everybody. Allah Alam. How do we greet our parents? Okay, inshallah. How do we greet our parents when we should not cross prostrate? Well, your parents is a Yoruba man. Hadith today, you are not from a tribe that reckon with prostration. You wouldn't have asked the question. There are some tribes, they don't count it. When I went for service in the East, they are always babbling why we prostrate. Because they don't do it. So they were looking at us. That's Yoruba, okay. So such people, his parents never see it as not being respectful. He is not prostrate. So it is a cultural heritage that we have to prostrate for our parents. So it will take a lot of taqwa and a lot of explanation. Even when you give the explanation to your parents, I'm telling you, they will not take it. The most subtle of them may allow you, but inwardly is not going to be happy, except few ones among them. So, what I can advise you is that you have to tread it gently and then consult brothers around you, particularly your Amir and some elder brothers. They can give their own experience and maybe you will make you out of the problem. Like one brother that went and came back. I was told that he should not prostrate. As he was coming from the house, he went on tabligh house in 4 months. As he was just coming back, he just went and prostrated for his father. Ekuleo. And his younger was prostrated for him. He said, no, don't prostrate for me, it's haram. And he prostrated for his father. So his father said, you did not allow your younger one to prostrate for you, saying it's haram, because you are prostrating for me. So you won't allow to punish him. Don't prostrate for me again. So you just use that as an hikmah. It may not work in your own case. why are we Muslims slaves and not sons? When you are a slave, it means you are
you are subjected to the directives of your master. You do nothing outside the boundaries of your master. So you are bounded to your master even. So we are slaves of God in the sense that we do only that what Allah commands us. We don't do anything except what He commands us. And that is slavery. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't have any rights except the one given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we are apt. We are not ibn, we are not sons. Okay? The Christians themselves knows, but they are only cajoling people. So in the normal usra classes, they will be quoting some comparatives for you. When it is said that the one whom you owe allegiance to, you become the slave of such a person and the person becomes your master. So we are bondmen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result of that, we are slaves unto Allah. That's just a simple meaning. Okay? That means His commandment only we follow. We follow no other commandment. You find out that sometimes we desire something, but because Allah said He doesn't want it, you will not do such a thing. You will do that of Allah. Despite the fact that you desire what Allah did not want, but you will still continue to do that of Allah. So when your al-wala wal-bara gets to an extent, you will now love what Allah loves and hate what Allah hates. Now, why are we, is it permissible to eat the food of Molid? In fact, in this book, they were telling us some rewards we have if you eat the food of Molid. In fact, I don't know. Ordinarily, the food, even the food of any food, one other than Allah has not been mentioned on the food is permissible for a Muslim to eat. But if they said it is the food of Molid, eat it, you shouldn't eat it. In order to tell them that it is not permissible. But ordinarily, if you are in a room, maybe after the celebration, the remnant, the man has turned it to his own daily food. So you are just eating ordinary food. So there is nothing that is impermissible about that one. Okay, because the status of the food has changed. Do you understand? So you can eat it. It's just like the messenger of Allah said, she said you should not eat from silver plate. So, and gold plate. What you should do is, when the food is inside silver plate, just remove it and put it inside another plate. And so, if the food is not haram, what makes it haram is the container. So you change the container. So once the status of that food has changed, then you can eat it. But when the status remains, then you cannot eat it. Allah knows best. That is true of Kawaii Fikiyah. Most Muslims do not believe in that. People who do not believe in a pillar of Islam as a result of ignorance can be categorized into two. Some people decided to become ignorant. They don't want to know. They shall be punished for deciding to become ignorant. Why some people do not decide to become ignorant, but they are struggled to the essence of they are struggled to their ultimate in order to be knowledge. So they are acting with the knowledge that is available to them. Such Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, shall judge in accordance with the knowledge that is available to him. Number, an issue of qadar. In our society today, our scholars are not explaining the issue of qadar because they themselves, except the pure scholar of Alisna, they don't understand the issue of qadar. They will say in Yoruba, Apishewa, Apofawa, all these things they will say, they is modeled up. Qadar is a concept. You can't give it a definition. You must explain it. Do you understand? It's a concept. It's just like those of us who know about chemistry. When you are trying to give the electronic configuration, the SPDF, can you just say it in the word? You know, it's an Hobbes principle, poly exclusion, a principle. What do you know? The other one you have? You know, these things, you combine all of them together in order to be able to give the electronic configuration. So, can you now give a definition and then you'll be able to do it? No.
You understand? That's how Qadar is. There are many concepts there that you have to be joined together. Then you'll be able to explain it. May Allah guide us. Maulid, if we allow Maulid to be, we'll be encouraging some of our youth to remain Muslims. It is not the new story. In the early 80s, the MSS was in record. When Bola Igi, 79 to 83, when Bola Igi, the then governor of Old Oyo State, banned MSS in secondary school as a result of the activities. So we was the record then. I want to say one in fanatics, and so on and so forth. Then many youth organizations sprang then. Nine Brosses, Univoice, Yumba Tanjaina, many of them. And during Ileya Festival at NCA Agodi, there used to be a competition, music, song, Islamic song competition, and Shihare used to give cash rewards for the best singer or the best youth organization there. I was not told I used to watch it. Okay? In fact, we like to go there because we have targeted that game become and sing there. Like in Nebrosis, if you can remember in the early, that lady that used to sing for Nebrosis, people used to go because they want to hear her singing. Okay, because of the voice. Not because of Islam. So we were there. Many people were there then. So the problem that will come is this. That if you are doing a thing, you want the best. The Christians are also singing. Do you think we Muslims can match the Christians in singing? Because when we sing to an extent, our Sharia will be cutting our fingers. It will be stopping us. You don't want to go beyond some boundaries. For Christians, the blood of Jesus are covered everywhere. Can you do it? So a Muslim who loves singing and you want to restrict him from going further in singing, we still eventually go to Christianity. Where he's going to sing without boundaries. Do you understand? Just like what happened to some of our brothers when we were telling them that Dikri Jama'i, that is being attacked in group, is bid'ah, it's not sunnah. But because they just want to get many people to the fold of sunnah, they want to get the market women. So they said, okay, they want to do the Dikri in stylish way. So they will be doing the authentic Dikri, Azana, all these things. But when Nasfat came now, what happened to them? All those women who were doing practical decree, they left them for Nasfat that did not limit them. Do you understand? So at the end of the day, they were unable to achieve their goals. And eventually, they have proved that thing is not Bidya. So it's not difficult for them to now say it's no Bidya again. Do you understand? So they are now inside it. The natural thing they are doing today, you know, is tactical returning back to that 80s and tactical way, you know. If another group emerges now that allows people to go beyond the level of natural, people from natural will still migrate to that group. Do you understand? That is why it is better to preach the sunnah. The messenger of Allah started with so many companions in the house of Arkham bin Arkham. He was not so enthusiastic to accept the suggestions of the Mushrikun in Mecca just because he was thirsty that people should accept Islam. Rather, he maintained the standard of Islam. And at the end of the day, he triumphed. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Asr, وَتَوَصَّوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَصَّوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. You call people to the truth and you become what you are going to be. I'm sorry for the time, you know. I don't know. Okay, I am the one. So, I'm sorry, please. University is the ephemeral. But sometimes you have to sacrifice, okay? I don't think I was there last week or week before the last. You know, let me tell you one thing. These are opportunities. These are opportunities. When I was in the university, there are sometimes we go to have things like this. Even tests. I'm not saying you should do so because but then we might miss some. But one thing that used to baffle me is that when we are not there, they will not just do the test. I just discovered that then. I did not discover it until I was about graduating that those tests that we used to miss, they would do it. No, when you have faith, you understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist you. But that does not mean you should not put effort. What I'm saying really is that sometimes you have to sacrifice. Okay? I know this intellectual society or academic circle, the university. You want to study, you want to have your first class. If you have your first class, still pray that Allah puts you baraka. Just like Allah puts baraka in Ghanipa in this first class. Many first class law, then they are not fan of it. So the baraka is more important than what you want to achieve. I'm not saying you will need many first class to move in Zoom. If you in this university now, I don't know how many HODs are Muslims, how many deans are Muslims. So how many Muslims are in the Senate? So you see that we still have a long way to go. But that does not mean we shouldn't practice our religion. They started before us now. They started before us. They had deprived us the opportunity of education long ago. We are just trying to catch up. And they are still there. So with time we are still going to catch up, inshallah, but not at the expense of our religion. Because when you get to the place, my wrong will be the question, not much that you can. You understand? So you know that guide us around. So invariably, and that is true, voila is the blunt truth, but sometimes they want us not to say it in the presence of some students who are just grabbing sunnah because you know more rich. Allah will not ask me about my certificate in the great place. Allah will ask me about my religion. So, and as a result of that, we will be given advice to withdraw. So sometimes you don't say such thing in public like this so that people like that will not get misled. But I think all of us are mature. We should be able to balance the equation if we should not study chemistry. So, the youth. What we need to give the youth is the knowledge. Once you have the knowledge, you can never delay. But when you don't have the knowledge, like Ali have said, you become yemeluna ma'akulli rih. You become a flag, like Nigerian national flag, that will go in the direction of the wind. Okay? He said we have three categories of people. Alimun Rabbani, that scholar, pious scholar of Islam. Talibun ala sabili najat, a student of knowledge on the path of sources. Then he said the third one, are those people, the rabbus, or what to call them, hamju. He said, yamiluna ma'akul lirih, that we only give in the direction of the wind. If you come for this lecture, they say, Maulud is not good, we won't do it. When you go to another place, you say, Maulaya Swali, Wasali Mutahima Abada, Allah, the So what I'm trying to say in essence is, what the youth need is the knowledge. Once you have the knowledge, wallahi, the understanding comes, and you have the full grasp of your religion, and nobody can mislead you again. You understand? You know the reason why you are not singing, Abi? You know the reason why you are not dancing. But if you don't know the reason, it continues to, you know, you continue to think that why are we not allowing it in order to bring other people in? The Yoruba says, Yaruta Allah, did you first? Then I knew we love. Okay? So, may Allah guide us all right. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. How many?
Any celebrities participate in people, other people's
Ok, a birthday is an extension of Maulid Nabi. Maulid Nabi, they are even celebrating the death of the Messenger of Allah. Because 12th Rabiul Awwal, according to authentic narration in Sahih Bukhari, is the day the Messenger died. 12th of Rabiul Awwal is the day of the death of the Messenger of Allah, Monday. 12th of Rabiul Awwal. That is the authentic narration. The day of his birth is not recorded authentically. What is authentic about the birth day of the Messenger of Allah? What is authentic about the birth of the Messenger of Allah is the day, not the date. The day is Monday, but the date is not known. But the day and date of his death was recorded authentically, which is 12th Rabiul Awwal and still on Monday. You understand? So if you are saying you are celebrating the birth of the Messenger of Allah, you are not, there is no authentic relation that says on the 12th. But authentic relation says he died on that day. And you cannot use qiyas or analogical deduction by saying he must have been born on 12th. Okay? That will be qiyas ma al-fariq. It will not be accepted. Okay? So, and is it permissible to celebrate the death of the Messenger of Allah? So, then that day, we don't, even in history, people that celebrate that day were always tyrant rulers. You know in the Bible, that king, not King Herod, that was celebrating his birthday and asked the dancer, the dance female, to ask for whatever she likes, so that we give, we give. So the Herodian now called her that she demanded for the head of John the Baptist, and it was given to him, and that's Yahya. So tyrants have always been celebrating their birthday. But as a Muslim, what do you want to celebrate in your birthday? You are now 21 years old. Celebration means you have gained the certificate of paradise. Are you saying in the last 21 years your ibadah is more, or your good deed is more than your evil deed? The day of birth, your birthday is the day of sober reflection. You should have reflected that if I had died today, what will be my state in the sight of Allah? Then, my being 21 means I am closer to the grave by minus 21 years. If you spend 121 years, it has remained only 100 years. So any number of years we spend on earth, minus 21, that's just the meaning. So you are happy. That is supposed to be a day of reflection, but Shaitan has made people to celebrate it now. And you see the dead now, the kuffar have brought another thing, and I know Muslims will soon copy. Just like I used to read in the obituary in newspaper that, Masunil Khan Al Aya Allah. I see reading the paper. Sleep in the heart of, yes, not of Allah. Muslims used to do it in paper. On radio too, when they are making the announcement. Akedeku and Alaja Wakinik and Sunil Khan Aya Allah. Just like the Christians were saying. Please, sorry if you don't understand, you will ask the person in the heart translate it for you. You understand? So they say sleep on in the chest or heart of Allah. Just like the Christ on the breast of Allah, just like Christians used to say. You understand? So sooner or later some people, you know, they now used to put celebration of life. No more obituary. That's what the kuffar are now putting on the announcement of death. We now see Muslim we copy. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun, celebration of life. What is he celebrating in the life? A life that was lived on Kufu, is it worthy of being celebrated? A life of shirk, what are you celebrating there? A life without Salat. And Muslims will still go there and say they are celebrating life with them. A life devoid of Salat. So, what do you want to celebrate there? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that on the day they will ask them to prostrate, they will not be able to prostrate. They have been commanded to prostrate when they were on earth. Man salakakum fi sakar, qalu lam nakum min al-musallin. What has made you to enter the hell of sakar? They say we were not among those who observed salat when we were on earth. Then what life is he celebrating? So we Muslims, we should be very, very careful. So no celebration of bad day. It is Christian ideology and Kufu ideology. And finally, how can we get know the authentic hadith? If you can read, no, you don't need to go to Lekim. A hadith that are in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. then you can be assured that these are authentic hadith. But some people used to fuck, they used to say, related by Bukhari and it's not there truly. And that is why you see now the school, the books of Ahl Sunnah. When we write our own book, we used to quote hadith number. We give footnote hadith number so that you can go and check it. They will say English translation or the Arabic version so that you can go and check it. So don't be contented with books you read related by Bukhari. What are these numbers so that you can check it in the Muslim in your library whether the hadith corresponds or not? Okay, some people are just, maybe it's a mouth thing. Maybe he has somebody say it's from Buhari, he also says it's from Bukhari. Okay? So we are in era of authentication now. You authenticate your test, not just saying it. So may Almighty Allah guide us alright. Then aside that, then you will have to read the commentary of the scholars of hadith. Those who are qualified to grade hadith. What did they say about a hadith? Those that are not in Bukhari and Muslim is Abu Dawud. What did Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani say about this hadith? Did he say it's for him? And in present era, what did Sheikh Albani say? What did Hamad Shafir say about this hadith? So then you can now say this hadith is authentic. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? So go ahead and get the sign. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.